I just love coming to church. I've been in church since I was born. But I can remember being in Sunday school from the time I was 3. I can actually close my eyes and I can remember what the class looked like. Isn't that amazing? That my earliest childhood memories are church. Running around. I mean, like, the church was like our second house growing up. My parents weren't pastors, but they were really involved in church. And so, well, they were youth pastors for a season, but they were really involved. So we were always there. And I can remember there were my brother and then a couple other boys that their parents, we were all kind of hung out together. And I can remember memories of us being little and playing hide and seek under the pews and falling asleep on the pew during church when it go really, really, really long. Most of the time those were missionary Sundays. Woo! But yeah, I just love being God's church. I don't think I'll ever get tired of coming to church on Sunday. It's just amazing. So if you have your Bibles, you want to open up, whoops, throwing things around. Two passages, Malachi 3 and then Genesis 14, the beginning and the end of the Old Testament. And I just realized that. I didn't do that on purpose. I just looked down. I'm like, wait a minute. First book in the Old Testament and the last book in the Old Testament, Genesis and Malachi. So it's Malachi 3 is what we're going to be reading first, and Genesis 14. And we are in between series. And last night I was reading because I'm always praying throughout the week for what the Lord has next. And I have kind of an idea of what's next, but I didn't get the whole picture. And so I was pray panicking last night. I'm like, okay, Lord, Sunday's tomorrow. Hello. And I was reading in Genesis, and the Lord showed me something really awesome that I had never seen before. So I hope it's as exciting for you as it was for me. Malachi 3 and verse 10 is where we're going to start. And it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Your tithe opens the windows of blessing. Say it again. Your tithe opens the windows of blessing. Your tithe opens the windows of blessing. Go ahead and go over to Genesis 14. And we are going to talk today about Abram. And most of you may know him as Abraham. He had two names. Abram was the name that he was given, and then Abraham was the name that the Lord gave him. And we're going to start in verse 17. Just to kind of give you a little bit of what's going on in this picture, Abraham and his nephew have moved into a land. Abraham gave his nephew a choice. He could go to the left or to the right. One direction was beautiful, almost Garden of Eden. The other one was the desert. The boy was smart. He chose the Garden of Eden, right? He chose the easy stuff, the beautiful stuff, and that's where he went to live. And Abraham took the other side because they were so blessed. Their herdsmen were fighting over the wells. They had so much that they needed to split up. How awesome is that, right? They have to move to different places because there's so much going on. So right now in this passage of scripture, there are several kings that have come in to the land where Lot is living, and they have plundered the land. And they have taken away hostages and a lot of probably their livestock and their harvests. And this is where we're coming into the story, is where Abraham has now heard that his nephew Lot was part of those that was taken away. And there was the king of Sodom who had gone after his people, but he was not successful. So Abraham goes into his household and he takes, I think it's 318 men. Doesn't seem like a lot of people to go against multiple kings and their armies. But he takes 318 men and in verse 17, oh wait, so then he, 318 men, and he actually goes and defeats them, gets Lot and his whole household and all the people that had been captured and all the things had been taken. 318 men and Abram. They went in and did what the king of Sodom couldn't do with his nation, with his army. And so in verse 17 it says, after Abram returned from defeating, I'm not going to even try, maybe Kedorlaomer, and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Keep reading. Then the king of Sodom said to Abram, Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, With raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Anar, Eshcol, Mamre, and let them have their share. Now I've heard this story preached because it's the first time it talks about the tenth. About a tithe of a tenth being preached. But remember, we've been talking about how it's so important not to just see things in chunks, but to see things on the whole picture. And so as I was reading this over last night, I was just kind of just going through, skimming through the story. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, I was reading further and I saw a connection that I've never seen before. Up to this point, Abram and his wife Sarai were blessed, had everything imaginable. The Lord had exceedingly and abundantly above blessed them, except for one area of their life. They didn't have an heir. They didn't have a child. She had been barren. So Abram, gives a tenth of everything to Melchizedek. And we aren't going to go into, because there's a whole big long thing of who Melchizedek could possibly be. Some say he is a form of Jesus because it's God Most High, and Melchizedek does not have any lineage before or after. So he just appears, and then he's gone again. Steve was sharing last night that some people feel that he came out of a line of Shem or could have been Shem himself. I was doing the addition, and he would have been really old, and after the flood, they didn't live as long as they used to. So not sure which one is correct, but the point is he was God's priest, and Abraham gave a tenth to him. And that's the important part this morning. And I find it interesting, the very next chapter, 15, it reads this way. After this, so after what? After he had given his tithe, after he had told the king of Sodom that he didn't want any of his stuff. Why did he say that? Because God didn't want Abraham's wealth to come from someone other than him. That's pretty awesome. Lord said, I'll take care of you. You don't need all this plunder. I'm able to make you wealthy. And we see story after story in the Bible of Abraham just flourishes, and then his kids flourish, and his kids' kids flourish. It just goes on and on and on, the blessing of the Lord. So you don't need the world to make you rich this morning. Who do you need? Your father. God alone can take care of that. All right, so let's keep reading. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who is to inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him and said, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up into the sky. And he said, look up into the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. What does it say in Malachi? Let's go back over there just really, really quick, because I want you to see the connection here. Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, says, Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. How many people know that there is not room enough in the sky to house all the stars that the Lord has put up there? They just keep going and going and going. And now with the technology that we have, we know that they go even farther beyond anything that Abram could have ever imagined. all he could see was this one part, but that's not, the Lord knew that the stars went so far beyond what Abram had ever been able to see. And that's what he promised him. He said, I will give you children as numerous as the stars. He is opening up the floodgates of heaven and pouring out a blessing that Abram cannot contain. It is unimaginable to count all of Abram's offspring. We can't do it because there are so many, so many that they number the sky, the stars of the sky. And the awesome thing is, this didn't begin just with the Lord talking to him. This began when he was obedient. And so often we pray and we pray and we pray for something, and really what the Lord is saying, I want to get this to you, but you have to be obedient. His word also says that it's obedience is better than sacrifice. All the sacrificing that you could do, all the fluff, so to speak, is great. But what really comes down to is, what is he asking you to do? I think about the story where Jesus was with his disciples in the temple, and all the Pharisees are bringing all their fluff. All this, look at me, I'm giving all this, and I'm giving all this, and I'm giving all this. And only one person caught his eye. You know why? Because she was the one person who was obedient. Her obedience was better than sacrifice. What moves God? Does it move God, the fluff? Or your desperation? No. What moves God is faith and obedience. And that's what that widow did. She brought her two mites. Less than a penny. It's just nothing. But she did what the Lord told her to do. Abram could have accepted. This was the king of Sodom. He had gone out and done what he couldn't do. It would have been very normal and very much in order that the king offer him the plunder, because he had gone forth and done the job that the king of Sodom couldn't do. And yet Abram was obedient to the Lord. What did he say? I swore on oath to the Lord, I would not take anything from you. And I love it. He gets specific. Not even a thread. Not even a piece of your sandal. Nothing is coming from you to me. I will be obedient to the Lord. And he gave a tithe of everything. What was the everything? The plunder. He wouldn't take any of it, but he gave a tenth of all that he brought back. How awesome is that? He could have taken it for himself, but he was obedient. Sometimes our obedience doesn't make sense. To a widow who has nothing and gave the very last that she had, doesn't make sense. But I can tell you what, because of what I know about the Bible, that was not all she had after she gave. That was not all she had. I know that my God met every one of her needs because she was obedient. And not just a little, exceedingly and abundantly above all that she could ask or hope or imagine. Why? Because I have stories like Abram that I can look at and I can see how God took Abram's faithfulness and blessed him with the one thing that he wanted, the one thing that he didn't have. And you read on and you read and you see the Lord blessed him with Isaac, who became his heir. I don't know what you're needing financially today. I don't know what you're needing in your life today. But can I tell you this? All the fluff doesn't make any difference. If the Lord told you to do something, you say, well, Shelley, I don't know if the Lord told me. Guess what? It's that same thing that keeps hitting you over and over and over and over and over again. It's that thought that never goes away. That one that you go, no, 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 that can't be the Lord. No, 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 that can't be the Lord. I've done that before. The Lord told Steve and I to do something one time. I was like, no, this definitely cannot be God. Nope, nope, nope. But everywhere I turned, everywhere I went, I could see it and I could hear it. Oh, okay, Lord, all right. And we were obedient to what he asked us to do. It didn't make sense. We were basically making nothing. We didn't make sense in the natural. But how many times you know that in the natural, when something doesn't make sense, it is so God. And we watch God do a miracle in our life that unimaginable. How he did it, even to this day, I still don't know. I still don't know. It doesn't make sense when I run the numbers. It doesn't add up. But God is faithful. And he is moved by our obedience to him and our faith to walk out that obedience. So today I want to challenge you. If the Lord has told you to do something, you're like, maybe it's not financially. That's okay. For Abram, it was give a tenth and don't take anything of his plunder. Whatever it is with you specifically that the Lord has told you to do, you need to do it. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Do it today. But oftentimes, our finances are involved with our obedience. Why? Because money has a sly way of trying to become Lord of your life. And the devil's sneaky. He doesn't come knocking on your door. Hello, you're going to love money more than God. We'd all be like, whoom, slam it right in his face, right? It's a slow work. So don't be surprised if it is your finances that the Lord is saying, I want you to do this. Be obedient. So many times in the last probably 6-7 months of my life, I find the Lord continuing to tell me what to tip. And you're like, oh, Shelley, it's just tipping. No. It's obedience. And I shared with you several months ago about how that we should be listening. We should be the best tippers. The best tippers, even when you're going through Starbucks. You know how many times people literally almost are in tears, these girls that are in the window, when I'll say, oh, no, here. And they're like, no, this is more than your coffee. I'm like, that's your tip. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness, that means so much. And the other day, I think it was Lindsay and I that went through Dutch Brothers, and the kid literally told us like 5 times, thank you. I just want to, thank you. Thank you. And I'm thinking, it's $5. But you know what? It blessed him. It touched him. It made a difference in his life. You can make a difference every day in something as little as a tip. And I have found God over and over and over again. I'll go to pull out a tip, and even though I think it's big, he's like, no, give the other one. Okay. And you know what? We just keep getting blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. And I don't know about you, but a $5 tip for a brand new bed, woo, sign me up every day. Right? But it's not about the amount. It's about our obedience. Amen? So grab your tithes and offerings. Tithe opens the windows of blessing. All throughout the Bible, it says the tenth is the Lord's. And you may say, well, that's a lot. No, he could have asked for more, but he didn't. And some people think, well, I'll just give more than a tenth. You can, but that's no longer tithe. That's an offering. That's something after your tithe. So a tithe is based on anything that comes into your hands as an income. That's what you tithe on. And then sometimes the Lord will tell you, give this besides. That's an offering. Bring your tithe to the church. Bring your tithe into the Lord's house so that he can open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't even imagine. I can't wait to get to heaven when Abraham watches all of the heirs of his promise walk in those doors. I can't wait to see the sea of people and go, that's it. Now all of your heirs are with you. How cool is that going to be? To see the fulfillment of that promise. Pretty awesome. And I don't know about you, but I want to know when I get to heaven that everything that God promised me, I also received because I was obedient. Amen? Bow your heads. Father, I just thank you so much for your faithfulness. God, that your word is alive and active. And I just thank you, Father, that as we read the Bible, it is not boring. And Father, I pray for any person in this room that was their first thought is, oh, but it's so boring. Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of their understanding, that they would be able to see revelation and freshness in your word. I pray, Father, it would just come to life, that the stories that they read would no longer be stories, but Father, they would be illustrations of things that they need to see in their own lives, that they would be stories of hope, stories of joy, maybe even stories of warning and caution, or stories to lead them and guide them and direct them. Father, I pray that your word would become so powerful in each of our lives that we would just every morning wake up just to, okay, what's next? What's next in his word that I get to read? I pray for that passion, Father, to be in each one of us today in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that as people are driving down the street, they remember, oh wait, my phone, I can have Bible Gateway app. I can just play it as I'm going down the street, that Father, they'd be able to play your word and hear things that they've never heard before and see things that they've never heard seen before. And Father, just like people like me who've been in church since I was extremely little, that I can find something new even after 47 years. I can find something new again. And Father, I thank you that every day that I live forward, I'm going to find something new over and over and over again because your word is alive. And I pray, Father, today, whatever it is that you've asked us to be obedient, I pray today you would help us to walk that out. I thank you, Father, for forgiving us for being disobedient in the past, but today is a new day. It is a new season, and we are going to walk in obedience from the smallest thing of how much we tip someone to the biggest thing in our lives. Because God, we can see in the story of Abram how powerful it is to be obedient. Our promise can be fulfilled as we walk in obedience. And we praise you and we thank you for that today. And we just call it done. All those miracles, all those things we've been standing for, believing for, financially or in our health or in our family or in our missionaries or in our church, whatever it is, God, we thank you today that it is going to be done as we walk in obedience. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord just reminded me of something. You can go ahead and take the tithes, guys. We had the Togo family here in, was it October or November? I can't remember. Was it October? Last fall. Thank you. And Pastor Steve and I felt very strongly to bless them. Remember, they had $5,000 that they still needed to finish furnishing the inside of their new school for their training. And we were faithful to sow that seed. And our harvest, as I was praying, the Lord showed me, we are still in this building. And they haven't finalized everything, so we've held off telling you. But we are still going to be in this building at minimum at least another year. That's amazing, incredible. All because of obedience. And who knows if that's even the end date? Who knows? Because we were faithful, he will be faithful. Amen? Something bigger than we can imagine. Every time we drive up, Pastor Steve says the same thing every time. I am so thankful for where we get to go to church. The beauty of this building, and it fits more than enough of our need. Over and over again. In the natural, this should have ended when Seton walked out. In the natural. And yet, we're still here. And we're still having favor now with the new company. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. The favor that God has given us. Whatsoever. Except for the Lord. And just like Abram, we can say, wow, look what God has done. Amen?